Good morning. My name is Kathy Hart. I'm the associate minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. And before I dive into the sermon, I just want to share a point of personal privilege. This past weekend, as of yesterday, we were able to celebrate Pastor Keith accomplishing a huge milestone in his ministry. He is now fully ordained by the Board of Ordained Ministry in the United Methodist Church. And I think he snuck out after he took the table off. But we definitely want to recognize that and to celebrate that with him. And I had a lot of questions in the lobby the last couple of days weeks when we were talking about his ordination. And what does that mean? I thought he already was. And that's true. So I just, a little education moment here, that it's a long process. My process was 10 years. I don't know how long his was, but there are many steps to the ordination process. So I like to compare it to the medical model. If someone graduates from medical school, they become a resident. Now they are practicing as doctors, they're working in hospitals, they're taking care of you, they're writing prescriptions, they're doing everything that a doctor does, but they haven't completed their full education and passed their boards. And so this is what Pastor Keith was able to accomplish, and we celebrated yesterday at his ordination. You can see the pictures on Facebook if you haven't seen them, but let us congratulate, he just came in through the back door over there, Pastor Keith in his ordination. So we thought we'd give him the Sunday off because he's worked so hard. And a little bit off. He's still here. Thank you so much. So we're starting a new series today, and that series is called The Things That We Say. Now, one of the things my mom used to say to me was, "Watch your mouth, young lady." I don't know that I could do that without the help of a mirror. I can't see my mouth. But really what she was saying was, words matter. What you say and how you say it really matters. There's that old adage, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never harm me. The truth is, bones heal, but often words cause wounds that sometimes never heal, or they take a really long time. So adages are those phrases that we have come to, they're wise words, they sound wise, and we have taken them as general truths. But as I just shared with you, the truth sometimes is a little different than what we're used to hearing. Some of those adages that we may have grown up with is early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Y'all know that one? Or it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all, right? Better safe than sorry, good. Time heals all wounds. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Oh, I don't like that one. But some of these have this connection, or seemingly a connection, to Scripture. And things like, God never gives you more than you can handle. Or everything happens for a reason. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Or the Lord helps those who help themselves. These may be loosely based on Scripture, but there's enough untruth in them that sometimes these words can cause harm. So that's what our series is. We're going to dive into these things that we say. And so before I start saying anything more, will you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So today we are going to take a look at the adage, or the phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle. Do I hear some groans out there? We've heard that phrase maybe at times when it wasn't very helpful. We're going through a lot of difficulties, and it seems like one thing after another, and if it hasn't been you, I know that you know someone who has had that experience in their life. So the words, God's not going to give you more than you can handle, is probably not a real helpful thing to share with them, because they are at their limit. We have all felt that pressure. We have all been there where it just feels so overwhelming. And when you think about all that we have been through in the last 2 years as a nation, as a world, we are still not through this pandemic that seems to be over and then not and over and then not. And we've had gun violence, we've had division in our nation and in our church and our denomination, and it just feels like it's overwhelming and we can't handle it. But don't worry, God won't give you more than you can handle, right? So we're going to start by taking a look at the scripture that I think this probably stems from, and that is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Take a listen to this. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So you can probably see in this verse where "God won't give you more than you can handle" might come from. But I want us to put this into context. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on in Corinth. It's not really good. And so Paul, at the beginning of chapter 10, starts talking about the Israelites. And he's comparing, in a way, what's happening in Corinth now, then, when he wrote it, to what the Israelites experienced. So starting in verse 1. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that there our forefathers were all under a cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." So they were hearing the same word, and they experienced miracles that God provided for them. The sea parted, and the manna came down from heaven, and water came pouring from a rock. Wow, they were in God's presence. And yet, verse 5 says, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Why was God not pleased with them? Because they fell. Even with all that they've seen and all that they've heard, they fell into temptation. And you hear the word of God preached on Sunday, you read the scriptures, you pray, and yet you also can be tempted and fall into temptation. So Paul is warning the Corinthians, and he's warning us as he goes on in verse 6. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things, as they did. "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and then they got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel." These things happened to them, the Israelites, as examples, and were written down as warnings for us. He's talking to the church of Corinth, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. But he's also talking to us, is he not? We too can fall into very easily temptation. Going on in verse 12. "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." If you think that you are standing and you are so faithful and you are so good that you cannot be tempted, that's your temptation to fall right there. And that is the whole setup that leads us to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let me read that one for you again, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to mankind. Temptation is common to all of us. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There's the hope. There's the hope right there. Whatever it is you're facing, he will provide a way out for you so that you can endure it. But Paul is talking about temptation, this whole chapter, and actually a couple of chapters before this in the letters to the Corinthians, is all about the temptation. It is not talking about the hardship, the sorrow, the grief, the heartaches that we face. And that is where God will never give you more than we can handle gets a little bit twisted. That temptation is different. So let's look at this God won't give you more than you can handle and break it down a little bit, now that you have the scriptural background. God won't give you. The problem with that statement right there is God does not give you bad things. God is the giver of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father. Please don't tell me that, or tell the mother who's lost her child to a drunk driver, that God gave her that. Please don't say that the families in Uvalde, Texas, God gave them that. But that's what that phrase says. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. God is the giver of all good things. To say that is inconsistent with what Jesus taught us about who God is, that God is love. God gives us love. God loved us so much, he gave us his only son. God loves us so much that he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We celebrated that last Sunday at Pentecost, that when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit, God's dwelling in us, God with us. He's with us always. God gives us grace and peace, hope, strength, love, all good things come from God. Bad things happen in this fallen, broken world. These consequences, there are consequences to our sins, but God doesn't give them to us. We earn those. And sometimes it's the consequences of other people's sin, or it is the result of a broken world, a fallen world, and natural disasters. We're about to enter into hurricane season, and we've seen the damage and devastation that happens there. God didn't give that to any one of us. Jesus said that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the sun shines on the good and the evil. God won't give us more than we can handle. So we're going to take the second part of that now. I'm going to do my absolute worst Jack Nicholson impersonation right now. You can't handle the truth. We can't handle this stuff, folks, on our own. We can't. Evidence of that, the World Health Organization reported just last month that anxiety and depression is up 25% in our country. This is partially a result to the pandemic and everything that we've been experiencing, but it's also partially into the teaching that God won't give us more than we can handle, that we have to be strong, that we can do this on our own, that we are strong, suck it up and move on. I don't want to. I can't handle it all sometimes. And we're not supposed to. God does not want us to be self-reliant and isolated and alone And that's what happens when we say, I can't handle it, or I can handle it all. And we think we're carrying the weight of the world all by ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, the ordination process is quite grueling in the Methodist Church, and there's a lot of frustration and work that goes into it. And sometimes it feels like you can't handle it. In 2014, a lot of things were going on in my life. Pastor Dave decided to take a leave of absence for about 6 weeks and in the fall, around October. October is also the time that ordination paperwork is supposed to be submitted, and everything had to be done. So I was working on getting that finished and planning on 6 weeks of sermons. And folks, if you've only been here on a Sunday morning, you're missing out, because this place is hopping all week long. So there are a lot of extra pressures and things that when the senior pastor's not there and you have to step into those shoes, you feel like the weight of the church is on your shoulders. But I was ready. I could handle it all. In my personal life, my mom's health was declining. And she was in an assisted living facility. Her dementia was getting worse. She'd had some falls. She'd escaped a couple of times. And I, as her medical health surrogate, was having to be involved in her care and those little emergencies. Well, one of the falls that she had opened up a wound. She was a double amputee due to diabetes, and opened up a wound on the end of her leg. And the nurses were trying to take care of it. She was under hospice care at that time, and they suggested, it wasn't healing, let's take her over to the hospice center and so she can get more care to take care of this wound. I said, sounds good, let's do it. And so they took her, and I met with the doctor the day that she got there. And to my surprise, he said, I want you to be prepared because your mom's systems are shutting down. That's why she's not healing, and she probably will not leave. 10 days later, my mom passed. I had a sermon to give. It was a Friday, and I was ready to give a sermon on Sunday. And I said, I can't. I was telling everybody all week long because I knew she was in hospice. No, 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 I got this. I got it. I got it. I can do it. It's good. I didn't have it. And people came alongside me from this congregation, and they said, Kathy, let it go. We've got this. You go take care of you and your mom and your family and do what you need to do. A few months later, I had my interview with the Board of Ordained Ministry in January, just a few months after Mom had passed. And I didn't pass. I didn't pass. And I broke down in that moment. I remember. And I said, I can't handle it. That's what happens when one thing after another, after another, after another in our lives, and I know that you all have been through that too. But friends, we are not supposed to handle it on our own. What has taught us that we have to face these things by ourselves, I don't know. But that is the beauty of being in a community of faith. That is the beauty of being one with Christ, so that we know that He is with us always. We just finished the series, The Domino Effect. And Domino 2, if you've been with us, Domino 2 was Christ in you, and Domino 3 was Christ in us. That's how we get through these things. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. No, that's not how it works. We have to handle it together with God leading the way. The one thing I liked from 10:13, 1 Corinthians 10:13, is He provides the way out. He will provide that. He'll give you what it is that you need to get through whatever it is. We are not in this alone. In this world, we will have trouble, and it is okay to shout, I can't take it anymore. In fact, that's what God wants you to say, because finally you're surrendering your will to God's. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says this, But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It is only when we surrender, when we admit that we can't do it, that God's power shines brightly through. And then I can boast not in my self, but in God's goodness in my weaknesses. It is God's grace that carries us. He is a loving Father and will give us whatever it is that we need to carry through. There is a psalm, Psalm 46, 1 through 2, that describes how God is present with us and helps us handle our struggles and our problems. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. We don't need to be afraid, because God is with us and he will help us. Because sometimes it does feel like the earth just gave way and I fell through a hole and the mountains are just crashing into the sea. And it's overwhelming and we can't handle it. But God is right there. There are three words that I want to focus on in just the first verse. Three powerful words. God is our refuge. Refuge means that he is trustworthy. And he is our safety net. If you think about the refugees that have been fleeing from the Ukraine and other areas of the world, what are they looking for? They're looking for a safe place to be. God is our safe place. He is our refuge. The second word is strength. God is our refuge and strength. It is only by his power, by his might, that we can do anything, not by our own. And God will give you the strength that you need when you need it. Have you ever been through something? I can sometimes look at my calendar on Monday morning and I'll open it up and I'll look and I'll go, oh, this is going to be a fun week. Okay. And I think I have to do it on my own. And then I get to Friday and I look back and I go, wow, how did I get through all that? God gave me the strength to face everything that I had lying ahead. And I hope that you've seen that in your life too. It's very often when we look back, we go, that's where God showed up. Thank you, God. He gives us strength. He is our refuge. And the third word is help. God is our help. And very often he will bring alongside him, us, helpers. It is through the body of Christ, it is through one another, when we walk alongside and care for one another and share together, that God's strength is present. He is ever present to help us. I want to close with a story about a lady named Annie. Annie Johnson Flint was born on Christmas Eve in 1866. At age 3, Annie lost her mother. And soon after that, her father became so ill he could no longer care for her, so he had to put her up for adoption. Annie was adopted by two loving, wonderful parents. But by the time she graduated from high school, she had lost both of her adoptive parents. And Annie dreamed of being a teacher, and she worked very hard, went to school, got a job, was an excellent teacher, loved what she was doing, but it was short-lived because she developed a degenerative disease that crippled her. She wasn't able to walk or care for herself. So Annie took up writing poetry. She wrote some beautiful poems, but the disease made her hands swell and so painful she could not write anymore. So she started dictating them to someone else. She found strength One of her most famous poems is, "What God Hath Promised." God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. When we face these times in our lives where we feel like we can't go on, it is okay to say, "I can't handle it." Because you are not supposed to handle it alone. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. God handles what life gives you. So I want you to focus instead on those negative things that you're feeling and receiving, and focus on what God gives you. God gives you Jesus. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you refuge and strength, help, hope, peace, grace, and a way through. When I was in college, my mom used to send me care packages. And one of the first ones that I got when I was a freshman had a little placard in it. This one right here. And it's a different way of saying, and I think a more truthful way of, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. It says this: "Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that you and I together cannot handle." Will you say that with me? Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that you and I together can't handle. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the gifts that you give us, the good gifts of love and hope and peace and refuge and strength and help when we need it. God, help us to surrender that prideful spirit of, "We can do this, I've got this," and let you carry it. May we boast, God, in our weakness so that your power and your glory and your strength will reign and shine through our lives. It is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.